Hi, thanks for listening to KSUT. I'm Sarah Flower. Today we are joined with Leanne Jalan, Executive Director of San Juan Basin Public Health Department, for our weekly update on COVID-19. Hi, Leanne. Thanks for joining us here again.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
There's a lot that's been happening in the news lately, and I know that parents and faculty and staff members have had this looming concern about schools and colleges opening here. This is going to hit us right around the corner. And I know a lot of this is falling on local public health departments across the country in regards to contact tracing and making sure that everyone is safe. How are you guys faring over there, Leanne? And what does this look like for schools and colleges opening for you?
Yeah, this is top of mind for everyone. How do we get schools open safely during a pandemic? You know, being that it's a new virus and that, you know, the schools weren't open and higher ed wasn't open, as people are planning their reopenings, the landscape around the plans keeps changing, right? So we're in a different place as a country than we were in May when states started reopening, and June when more states reopened, and July where cases started to really grow. So for our partners that are trying to open schools and make sure that people have access to higher ed and, you know, just, you know, do all the things that we need to do to be healthy as communities, we have to recognize that we're doing this in a changing landscape, and public health, you know, staffing up and being capable of containing disease in a community is part of the equation. And we are working very hard with our local partners, you know, whether it's the K-12 school or Fort Lewis College for higher ed, to make sure that we have, you know, all of the infrastructure in place, the coordination, the communication, and that we're able to discuss that we're doing this, you know, as things are changing. We're seeing changes, you know, it is different than it was in May when we all started this planning for what this, you know, end of summer, fall would look like.
And there's a little more knowledge that we know about, at least as far in terms of the virus and how to maybe treat it or what it does or what it looks like. Further symptoms have added on. So this time in closures have bought us a little bit of knowledge. But as you said before, that we are writing the playbook as we're playing the game.
Yeah, I mean, there is more knowledge. And we're certainly, you know, one of the really positive things is that the healthcare system is getting better at treating. So we are seeing shorter lengths of stay in hospitals, and we're seeing fatalities come down as they relate to cases in many parts of the country. So that's really good news. We're still in the dark on some of the transmission because we don't have, you know, as a country, we don't have all of the testing that we need. There are certainly states that are testing only symptomatic individuals because there isn't enough testing to go around to do asymptomatic surveillance. We've seen Colorado kind of be able to do some asymptomatic surveillance for a while, but now really having to target more towards symptomatic testing. And, you know, schools, you know, initially in their plans wanted to be able to offer asymptomatic surveillance so that we could get ahead of clusters or outbreaks before, you know, before they become large enough to warrant steps like, you know, closing down a cohort or closing down a classroom. So this is all the, you know, balancing act that everyone's working on as the landscape changes around us. And, you know, for everybody that is working on these really, really complex problems, I feel for all of us because there aren't really easy answers. Because as you said, the playbook isn't there.
As much as school administrators, faculty, staff, parents are looking at this, it kind of feels like, well, here we go. We'll see what happens. Do you guys feel like that as a public health department? Because we really don't know.
Well, I mean, what we do know is we need to staff up our case investigators, our contact tracers. We have to have quarantine and isolation available to the community. We have to have testing sites available. So I guess I really want to balance, you know, there are unknowns and there are knowns that we are working hard on with partners to make sure the right things happen in the community. And the virus, unfortunately, around the U.S. is not in as good of metrics as they should be right now.
You know, I think on this level, it has never been more important as a country that where communities are relying on local public health departments, which leads to some news that came in over the last few days about San Juan Basin Public Health and yourself, about your role at San Juan Basin and your status right now. Leanne, how are things going over there?
Well, San Juan Basin Public Health serves two counties, and we have a 70-year history of La Plata County and Archuleta County being part of one health district. I think back many, many years ago, there were other counties as part of this health district. So there is some history where San Juan, Montezuma, and Dolores counties were all part of a multi-county health district. There is a long tradition of La Plata County and Archuleta County working together and delivering services together. It is not ideal to be looking at restructuring a health department during a pandemic. That said, it is, you know, it's the job of county officials. So Archuleta County, you know, it's part of their job to ask questions, you know, investigate what the best way to deliver services to the community is. And they're doing what, you know, is absolutely an appropriate thing to be doing as an elected official. It just kind of creates some difficult thinking about what that would look like while we're also very busily staffing up and trying to meet the needs that you and I have been discussing already today. So, you know, across the state of Colorado, since the beginning of COVID-19, we've seen almost 20% of local public health have leadership vacancies. And this is because, I think there's been a lot written about this, is local public health really has been underfunded and under-resourced for a while. You know, it tracks back to the recession of 2008, where across the country, local public health lost about a third of their staff and really haven't recovered. And we don't have the ability to staff up and contain communicable disease at the level that we need to be doing it right now for COVID-19 instantly, right? Like, it's just simply a difficult thing to go from an agency that is already underfunded, you know, over the last 10 years, lost, you know, nationwide local public health lost about a third of its staff. They lost about a third of their budgets. And we're able to maintain services to communities, you know, through really creative, dedicated staff wanting to make sure that what they had traditionally done was still available in the community. So it's already stretched pretty thin, probably much thinner than anyone realized until the pandemic hit. And then, you know, on top of that, we end up with the 100-year pandemic when we're in kind of maybe the most weakened place local public health had been in decades. So I think the country is learning about this together. I think when you ask questions about what does it look like for schools to reopen, what does it look like for higher ed to reopen, and local public health is the first to say, you know, these are important things in communities. We need to have these things open, and we also need the infrastructure to be able to open it. That becomes tremendously difficult, and it suddenly becomes less surprising that 20% of local public health have had leadership vacancies across the state of Colorado, right? We're a local control state. We've asked our local governments and our local public health to really step up and make local decisions, but we know it's not a local pandemic, right? Certainly how we behave community to community, state to state, is going to have huge bearing on whether or not we can safely open schools and whether or not we can safely have higher ed, right? If you look at higher ed, you are mixing together individuals from states all over the country. You know, many institutions of higher ed have sizable international populations, right? So when we're looking at how we treat a pandemic, we really have to think bigger than a local community and all try the best we can to get on the same page and have the same reduction of cases in our communities to keep our communities safe and keep other communities safe so that we can all get back to, you know, a version of new normal that's more sustainable than what we have now.
Leanne Gillon, Executive Director of San Juan Basin Public Health Department. Is there anything else you'd like to add for us here today?
This has been a really difficult summer. It's been an interesting tourist season. We think that we're coming kind of to the end of the tourist season and the beginning of the school season. And we will be, you know, doing everything we can to staff up and keep the community safe. And we appreciate everyone doing their part as well.
Leanne Gillon with San Juan Basin Public Health Department. Thanks so much for joining us here today on KSUT with our weekly COVID-19 update.